Have you ever had the feeling that you're being followed? Have you ever had a tingling sensation in the back of the neck that suggests someone or something is right behind you? Whether or not you've ever had that sensation, this much can be said with certainty, that all Christians are being followed. Case in point, King David. He knew all about being followed already from an early age. Already as a boy, he spent considerable time in the palace of King Saul, where he experienced festive banquets and various types of adventures, the making of music, as well as the ugliness of jealousy. As David grew in stature and increased with the popularity of the masses, King Saul became increasingly jealous of the young lad. He saw in David's potential the potential for losing his own throne. And so the appreciation that he once had felt for David's bravery and heroism was replaced by deep-seated envy. David came to recognize the threat to his well-being and fled. We're told that at one point he stayed in the wilderness of Maon, and when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Yes, David was being pursued by someone who wanted him dead, and it wouldn't be the first time or the only time. For later on, years later, when David was the king himself, he was feverishly followed by yet another rival, this time his own son, Absalom, who was a very disobedient and rebellious son, wanted to be king himself and managed to surround himself with a band of individuals who were also interested in dethroning David. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. David was being followed again. He did have his enemies. And on top of all that, he had a spotty past. In addition to the threats against his physical life, there were also the threats against his spiritual peace of mind. Knowing how the devil operates as we do, it's safe to assume that Satan was also following David with taunting recollections of his past. It's likely that the devil did his best to remind the king of his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and his faithless numbering of Israel. The devil likes to disturb God's children with lingering feelings of guilt. At one point, at least, a guilt-ridden David said sadly, "I drench my couch with tears." What about us? Are we being followed? We have been blessed with an environment in which we feel little, if any, direct threat against our physical well-being. We probably don't expect to be followed by adversaries who are determined to rob us of our lives or goods. But we as Christians do have opponents, and we are also followed by the awareness of our own sins, the sins that we have committed, which are deserving of God's wrath and judgment. Left to our natural condition, we might all be portrayed as the cartoon character that walks around with a black, dark cloud following him everywhere we go, because we have done much to deserve God's eternal punishment. The wonderful thing, however, is that we are also being followed by some wonderfully bright and positive things, things greater than all adversities, things which diffuse threats and completely counter condemnation. This very same David, who knew so well what it meant to be followed by fears and foes, also knew what it meant to be followed by goodness and mercy. In the last verse of the very familiar 23rd Psalm, he declares with certainty, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He was speaking, of course, about the goodness and mercy of the Lord, and as such, he was speaking of things which cannot be negated or toppled or stopped. No matter how fierce a foe may be, no matter how evil an enemy might become, no matter how bad a situation might develop into, God assures his people that he will be right behind us, following us with surpassing goodness. It doesn't mean, of course, that Christians will always be spared afflictions or assaults, but it does mean that difficulties can only occur when God allows them to and can only develop to the extent that He permits. Furthermore, it means He will always make positive use of the challenges and will reshape them into something that is good. Surely goodness shall follow me. The Lord is completely capable of transforming difficulties into delights. And He's also perfectly capable of giving us wonderful things on a daily basis. Luther helps us recognize clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, as things which He graciously provides on an ongoing basis. In addition to family and friends, health and healers, vocations, vacations, the realizations of dreams, pleasant surprises. Every good and every perfect gift is from God, James says, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Goodness is and will follow us. And so is mercy, the mercy of God, through which we have been freed from all sin and guilt, the condemnation of sin and guilt. It was God's mercy that prompted Him to provide for us a way of salvation. He, whose mercy endures forever, sent His Son to take upon Himself all of our guilt so that we might make our way to glory as the sinless and guiltless people of God. Whenever the devil does sneak up behind us with taunting recollections of our past misdeeds, the Lord has given us the word with which to send him running, the assurance of our forgiveness. We can point to the mercy of God, the grace of God, by which we stand justified in God's sight. David confidently said in another psalm, "As the high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy to those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us." And with the removal of all things negative following us, it means there's nothing to stand in our way of having a glorious future. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Despite our rebellious past and sinful present, we have a perfect future in Christ. Nothing can stop the person who believes in Jesus from finally entering the best place there is, the house of the Lord, where perfect righteousness, joy, peace, and rest will be found. Are we being followed? Yes. In this life, we will continue to be followed by significantly weakened adversaries who may still try to harm us physically and who will dredge up the past from time to time. But we also are being followed by far more wonderful and powerful things. The goodness and mercy of our God. Goodness to counter the bad. Mercy to cover our sins. Yes, we're being followed. Thank God. We sing of His following goodness and mercy in the form of hymn 436, stanzas 1 and 5. The first and last stanza, hymn 436.